And it looks like another one. It's the news, according to me. Oh, my. It's Monday, September 16th, 8:31, almost 8:32 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2024. I am your host, Kevin. I'm here for you in this hour of wackadoodle craziness. I have, my goodness. Of course, the world is waking up this morning. Mostly looking for, just answers to questions like, what's in my cup? And of course, you know what's in one of my cups because it's a, I'm in a rut. It's a rut cup. I have a chai, of course, vanilla chai with another creamy. I have the creamy chai, the good chai, the big train chai this morning. I'm in my home studio. Tomorrow morning's possibility, very possibly going to have a show from the worldwide headquarters. I have, most likely there'll be a show tomorrow morning. There will be a show tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and there will be a show Thursday morning. I take that back, Wednesday morning, potentially. There's a very good potential of me having a show Wednesday morning. I have to look at the possibilities of what's going on. I may or may not choose to accept my assignment on a Wednesday. It all depends. If I have if there is a show, it could either be from the home studio here or the boat, one of the two. But it'll be from somewhere, possibly. Maybe. Who knows? I don't know. In my backup cup, this is what's interesting this morning, is my backup cup. I have some watered down homemade tea. I think that's the last of my homemade tea. In the, what's interesting about this is the cup that it's in. It's actually in a Chick-fil-A sweet tea cup, the styrofoam one, not the paper ones. And I have peaches in there, which is always good. Makes it taste better. Real peaches. And it's getting to that point now where the peaches are kind of breaking up a little bit. Course, and I'm getting little chunks of peaches now, so I can chew on my tea through the straw there. Anyway, the a couple things I want to talk about. One, of course, is the I kind of thought, well, I'll talk a little bit about today about Springfield, Ohio, and that whole thing, because there's a whole backstory there that I think needs to be talked about. Everybody's talking about the cats and the dogs, the pets. The story that really needs to be told, of course, now what's bringing that up is the fact that they have 20,000 people there in a town of less than 60, that was originally less than 60. Now they have 80,000 people there. Just over the course of about 2 years, the town grew that much. Of course, that causes a few problems. We can talk about the economics of that whole thing. Of course, I'm not a doctor, a lawyer, an economic advisor. Or a financial institution, advisor, counselor of any kind. But this is the kind of thing that they do, and they've been doing this. This is going all over the place, by the way. This is not just in Springfield, Ohio. Of course, now they're finding that there's another one down in Alabama. This town's being overrun. This is happening in a lot of places. And we're just hearing about some of them. There are some towns that have had enormous numbers of people. There was a couple little towns in our area here, just not too far away, about 10 miles away, had this sudden influx of, all of a sudden, people started showing up wearing certain kinds of clothing. Well, where did they come from? What are they doing here? Why are they settling there? This kind of seemed kind of odd. In the middle of an Amish Mecca. little Amish town, conservative Mennonites. And all of a sudden, these strange other kind of things start showing up. I don't recall that religion being a part of the, what was going on here. Why'd they choose to live there? What's going on here? And why would they be moving? What drew them to this particular place? We'll talk about that a little bit. But, of course, first and foremost, I guess we got the cup issue out of the way. So now we can talk about, you know, other lesser important things. We have another assassination attempt on the former President Donald Trump. And unfortunately, or as usual, the media, the establishment mainstream media, is deciding that it's Donald Trump's fault. It's his fault. I want to, maybe I can find this. I was listening to some shorts. Don't know where this is going to be. Is it going to be on this one or that one? I heard this, this must be on this other one because I've said this a million times. I'm not going to say it too much more. Megyn Kelly, if you've listened to me for very long, you know what I think about Megyn Kelly. She made a comment that I think, and I've been asked this question, this is probably the one question that I've been asked more than any other, which is kind of odd, actually. Probably one of the main questions I've been asked is, if Donald Trump wins, do you think that they're going to settle down? Of course, the answer to that is obviously no, absolutely not. They're not going to settle down. What are you talking about settling down? They're going to go right back to the way they were. And this was at a. I wonder why this is not in here. This should be obvious. What happened to this? Oh, here it is. It's right there. This is where it is. This is. No, that's it was on the Tucker Carlson thing. That is interesting. It's not showing up here anymore. I was sure that it was right here somewhere. I'm sorry. It's just it is elusive. No, it's not showing up here. Kind of weird. As I know, I saw it this morning, and it was a thing about the, it's not there. Well, she basically makes the comment about how the mainstream media is falling apart. It was on Sean Ryan. I take that back here. Where'd he go? It was Sean Ryan. What happened to him? I just saw it. What happened to him? Oh my word. So I apologize, folks. This is not going well here on this Monday morning. But it was a Sean Ryan thing. For those of you who don't know, Sean Ryan was, I think he was a SEAL team guy. And it's disappeared again. I know that I saw Sean Ryan here just a minute ago. Looking back through my history here on YouTube, and that's what I'm trying to find. I don't see it now. Very interesting. Huh. Well, I guess I am. I don't see it. I'm sorry, folks. This is brought to you by. Yeah, how do you know you're having coronavirus? There's no Sean Ryan there. There's no Sean Ryan there. Oh, here he is. Oh, here it is. This is it. I found it. I finally found it. Here it is. What do you know? Let's play this because it's worth listening to. This is, what happens to mainstream media. They're talking about the whether or not mainstream media can survive. And when we're talking about legacy media, they're talking about the establishment corporate media that is out there, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. Some are a little better than others, but they're all pretty lame. And even Fox. But this is let's talk about what's going – let's talk about this little statement here. He's asking her that question, what happens to the liberal media or media in general? And she makes some very good comments. This is very – I think this statement kind of says it in and of itself. I wish I could memorize this because this is exactly the way I should answer almost every time I get asked this question.
What do you think the final nail in the coffin will be?
If Trump wins again.
That'll be the end.
Yes, because they'll do the same thing they did the first time.
And more.
Everything will be negative. He will be the devil incarnate. They will find their oppositional, you know, media roots again, which they totally forgot during the Biden years. Hello? We have a whole White House press corps that didn't figure out he was being visited regularly by a Parkinson's doctor. Do you think they'd miss that with Trump? My point is they had no interest in finding out anything bad about Joe Biden. So I do think they'll just drive more people away. But they're already dying. Their ratings right now in primetime, they're pulling in 500,000. I mean, I know you dwarf that in your numbers, and I certainly do as well. Now they get maybe 1/4 of what they used to get. They make
wow.
No news. They're totally irrelevant. What was the last news Savannah Guthrie made?
I have no idea.
Of course you don't. What was the last news big interview Robin Roberts had? Who knows?
I don't ever watch it.
Who has more influence, Wolf Blitzer or Ben Shapiro?
Ben Shapiro.
It's just a new world. They're well on their way to the end.
What do you think the final nail?
That is, I have to agree with everything she's saying there. Now, the problem is, this is where we run into the trouble with this, is that if they, out of desperation, and what are they wanting to do right now? They're wanting to censor any other opposition voices. They're upset with big tech and big media. Because they don't censor enough. They want them to censor more. Well, you don't have the right to lie. You don't have the right to misinformation, disinformation. That's not free speech. You only have the right to say things that are true, the things that we tell you that are true. That's the mentality these people have. And that's where they're going with this stuff. Just like yesterday. The first reports that we got about the gunshots being fired, that it was, two people were shooting at each other in the parking lot at a Trump golf course where Trump happened to be golfing. That's what we were told initially. That was a report that was put out there. Not that the shots that were fired were fired from, the only shots that were fired were from Secret Service. Now, there's a whole lot of issues here. Of course, there's always room for conspiracy theories. But there's some bizarre stuff on this one already popping up. It's kind of weird. We're going to talk about, by the way, there's going to be a special guest. I'm planning on having a special guest join us later this morning. I'm not sure where he is today. I think he is actually probably somewhere in a hotel in who knows where. He's a bit hard to understand because he doesn't speak English, as articulately as I do, of course. Because I've been speaking it, for 45 years. I'm 62 years old, but I've only been speaking for about 45 years. I don't know why I was the top. Why I thought. Yeah, 45, whatever. 62, 60 years probably. I probably wasn't speaking the first year and a half or so. I don't know. I was, actually, according to my great-grandpa, I was pretty much a blabbermouth the time I popped out of this. Yeah, anyway, I used to have this little... No, this guy's from Peru. I'll tell you. This guy's from Peru, and I'm going to try to give him a phone call. See if we can figure out what in the world he's saying. very, very good. Very, very, very good friend of mine. Very special friend. He works at the same place I do, and he's about half my age, I think. He's just very, very. Very intelligent fella. very creative. Just a riot to be around. Anyway, anyway, when I was a kid, my dad had this, I think I might have told this story maybe before, I don't know. My dad had this little reel-to-reel recorder. It was about the size of a large book. It was like, you know, not War and Peace, but it was a small novel size device. Had a microphone built into it, but it also had a plug for a microphone, believe it or not, which is, this is pretty high-tech stuff back in the day. My dad actually was he went from being raised as an Amish kid to being a television repairman. You know, quite the shift in life there. And he ended up, he had a little garage and he fixed up, he repaired televisions in his garage. That's what he did. He worked at a casket factory making caskets. I don't think he actually worked the line. I think he actually worked in the maintenance department. I think. I'm not sure what part of the division he worked in there. And then he ended up starting this little television repair thing. He'd repair stuff. So he was kind of into the high-tech technology stuff. He was all about electronics, and he was kind of the electronics guy in town, which was a very small town, probably 400 people, or 400, no, a couple hundred homes, maybe. So we had this little town, and it was, so my dad had this, he did these sales meetings, and he would go around and do this stuff for some other thing he was doing. I don't know what else, canned sun dryers or whatever it was he was selling. I don't know, building them or whatever he was doing. Something with canned sun dryers. Those of you who are out west probably still have some canned sun dryers. There are some of them still standing out there now. But I think they were Kansas. The company was from Kansas, but he was very captain. You know, Al Weger was part of his little thing. Anyway, wow, taking me back. Now I have so he had this little tape recorder, and I would, you know, he unfortunately would make the mistake of leaving it out where I would find it, and I found it in the room in his bedroom one day, and I was back there, and I was messing around. I started recording myself doing little shows, and I have to say that they were pretty funny because, you know, I was a kid trying to be an adult, making a show, just making goofy stuff, and dude, it just, I was, and looking back on that, I realize that what I'm doing right now is probably the same thing. I don't know, talking to myself in a room. I don't know what that's all about. I was probably 3 or 4 years old. Four or five years old, maybe. I don't know. Something like that. It was probably 1967, maybe. Something like that, 67, 68. Having a tape recorder is not something everybody had. Well, not a battery-operated one, anyway. Anyway, that was kind of a... yeah, interesting side note there. So what we have going on here, and of course, if they're throwing this fit now, and they've got this rhetoric and this rage and all this stuff that's going on, do you remember all the assassination attempts that were tried on Barack Obama because of all the, you know, we had all these right-wing, alt-right, radical right, neo-Nazi, white supremacists running around who wanted to kill him. And because that's the most dangerous threat we have right now is domestic terrorism. White supremacists are the most, it's the biggest threat we have in the nation right now, because that's because, you know, and I don't know if you recall, almost every other day, it seemed like with every couple of months, we'd have an assassination attempt on Barack Obama. You remember that? Do you remember all those that we had? Because of, you know, because he was such a danger, according to the white supremacists. Because they're everywhere, by the way. They're everywhere. Half the nation, apparently, there's millions, hundreds, tens of millions of them, right? Hundreds of millions. And they're all out to kill, you know, that's what they are. They're violent people, apparently. Now, I guarantee you, if someone tried to assassinate Joe Biden or Kamala Harris, I don't know that I can't think of a pundit out there on the conservative side of things who would step up and say, "Oh, I wish he would have. Oh, too bad that he missed. Oh, well, you know, all their rhetoric, they deserve it. They're stirring up all this rhetoric." They would be blaming everybody on the right. They wouldn't take anything that anybody said about them being the problem. I just want to point out who the violent people are here. Any means necessary. The end justifies the means. This guy wanted to be a hero. This guy, okay, so what happened here? Because those of you who haven't heard the whole story, now, this is everything I've gleaned so far and what my opinion of this whole thing is. And then I'm going to get in a little bit about some of the questions that have come up about this thing, because there are some questions. And it seems a little odd to me. There's a couple things, just two or three, that seem a little bit odd. Now, and I realize it could just be coincidence. It could just be, you know, okay, so, yeah, okay, whatever. They're all praising the Secret Service, which he's still alive. So, you know, whether or not everybody in the higher-ups at the Secret Service are happy about that, I don't know. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Some other interesting things that Mr. Blumenthal has said kind of makes you wonder what's going on. So we have this guy apparently knew that Donald Trump was going to be out there on this. Now, this was not at Mar-a-Lago. This was at the Trump International Golf course, I guess, a golf arena, whatever it's called. I can't remember what the name of it is. But one of his golf courses, and he golfs almost every morning at one of his golf clubs someplace. He has several of them, but he tries to golf every morning. So the way I understand it, he tries, several times a week anyway. So he's out there on the golf course. Well, they have stepped up some of his security, some actual Secret Service to some degree, which it gives you a little bit more, comfort in knowing that he's, somebody's watching a little bit more. I think that they really need to step it up to the point of full-blown presidency, because they need to have more cover on this guy, obviously. And the biggest reason is because of the rhetoric from the left, saying when you're out there every day, all day, saying that this guy's a threat to democracy, he's an existential threat to the country, he's going to destroy the country, he's going to give us, all these things that they said before, they've literally made it worse. They've magnified everything that they've said. He's out. He's an insurrectionist. He's out to he's. They made it worse than they did the first time. So you can imagine their reaction when they find out that 100 million people vote for this guy. I think that's what we're heading for, actually. What's going to be weird is that we're going to have 100 million people vote for him, and there's going to be 200 million people vote for Kamala. That's what's going to be really bizarre, because there aren't that many people of voting age, but they won't care about that. It'll be done and over. So it's election's over. Oh, no, can't argue with it. You have to concede. There's not enough voting people in the country that doesn't matter. So, what happens is this guy is just happens to be on the course where Donald Trump is golfing that day. It's not on his public schedule where he's going to be. It wasn't published anywhere. Guy shows up with an AK-47. Now, some of the things that this guy has tweeted, some of the things that he said, I'm not going to say his name. I wouldn't remember if I tried anyway. Don't really. But he apparently is just outside this fence, and he's got this AK-47 that he is now drawing down on, waiting for Trump to come around the corner, or he's actually drawing down on where he's at. There was one FBI agent who went ahead of the president, whatever hole he was on, the fifth or sixth hole, fourth, fifth, whatever is right in there somewhere, about halfway through. And this FBI agent was ahead of him looking for, you know, basically scoping out the area, making sure it was clear. Well, it wasn't clear. There was somebody there with a gun. And the Secret Service agent, it was enough of a threat, obviously, it was obviously that the guy had a gun. And he actually had some body armor there, I guess, and stuff. He had it hung up as kind of a shield, and he was also had a, my understanding is he had some kind of a camera. I don't know if it was a GoPro camera. I was told it was a GoPro camera. I don't know that for a fact. I think it was some kind of a camera that he could actually upload instantaneously. It was basically being streaming live, the way I understand it. He was going to stream live this whole thing. So he was setting up to do all that, or set up to do all that. Whether or not he was going to record it and then have it automatically, you know, there are some apps out there where you can make a recording and right away you can set it up to instantly, you know, post to social media. Rather than having it go live, it's a recording, but it instantly goes live or goes to your social media. Multiple platforms. There's a couple apps out there that can do that. So anyway, those have been around for a while. I had one, but, you know, 6 years ago. So he's out there and he's doing this whole thing and he's getting ready to go and he's getting ready to hit, he's getting ready to do this hit on the president. And apparently this Secret Service agent sees this and he's all set up there and he actually takes shots at the guy. Now, if he would have just discovered someone with a gun sitting over in the field and Trump wasn't anywhere around, it wasn't an imminent threat or, a clear and present danger, so to speak. He wouldn't have shot at him. He would have just probably confronted him and tried to, you know, I'm sure he had gun drawn, probably tried to accost the guy, arrest the guy, detain the guy, whatever. This must have been a near enough threat that he was he took 4 shots at the guy. That's what I've been told. The guy, he missed every time. Missed every shot, which is, you know, that's real comforting to know that they, now, I don't know how far away the guy was. My understanding was it was possibly 3, could have been 300 yards. 300 yards with a handgun, pretty hard to get, you know, to hit a target, especially one that's down in the weeds with a handgun. Rifle, whole other story. Now, why he wasn't carrying a rifle, I don't know. Again, now shotgun at 300 yards, a little bit hard to get to draw down on somebody that far away. But still, 100 yards, definitely. Shotgun's deadly at 100 yards. There's all kinds of issues about people saying the shotguns aren't good for anything. Home defense, I got to tell you, I am all about shotguns. I'm also about handguns. Just have all the tools there. That's what I'm going to say. So the Secret Service agent takes 4 shots at him. He takes off running. I guess he left the gun there. I understand he just took off running. Ran out from wherever he had his little truck parked. I think he had some kind of Nissan or something. I don't know what it was, some kind of truck. Some citizen who just happened to be standing out there happens to notice that something weird going on. This guy comes running out from the tree line and he just jumps in his truck and takes off. And apparently this citizen had the wherewithal to just have his phone ready to take a snap a picture of this guy, and it got his plate. The guy was going down the highway within a couple hours of that time, I guess, or whatever, and they finally picked up his license plate on a camera. They don't say this. The one police officer who gave a report right after that, it was basically a press conference. You have to pay attention to the way they say things. What he said was they got a hit on this license plate. In other words, it was captured by a camera in the surveillance state that we have, which is, you know, in this case, yeah, it was a good thing that they had that. They were able to track him down. They stopped him, pulled him over. Apparently he stopped. I'm surprised. They got him. You know, he thinks he's going to be a hero. This is the way they acted after this whole thing happened the first time. All these celebrities were saying, "Oh, you know, they were calling the guy a jerk because he missed." He thought, "Oh, I'm going to get him, and I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to save democracy. I'm going to save our country." Because that's what he's been convinced of. Now, whether or not, you know, obviously he's got issues, mental issues. But you're not hearing anything about the left condemning this guy, coming out and saying, "Oh, this is, we can't have this kind of violence." You know, the one-off of having one guy try to take a shot at him, okay, now you've got two within 2 months. At what point do they step back and say, "You know what, we're going to be responsible for this guy's death if we don't watch what we're saying, have some decorum, have some common sense about what you're saying here, a dose of reality." I think my first question was, well, did he finish the course? And you know what? What's funny about that is the statement that he made was he really wanted to finish the course. But he wasn't able to because that's what happened. The Secret Service wouldn't let him, basically, because the whole investigation thing had to happen. They shut down the course. So it was... And again, that's his, you know, that's the kind of reaction he would have. Somebody who gets shot in the ear, you know, centimeters from having his head blown off, and he stands up and says, "Fight, fight, fight." Who thinks of that at the moment? And yet this is supposed to be the most, and that reaction right there tells me everything I need to know about the guy. Right there. The reaction he had after he got shot. He is fully committed, and he could have stepped down. He could have resigned at that point. He said, "You know what? I'm just going to resign. This is tearing the nation apart. I'm not going to do it." Nope, he didn't do that. This just goes beyond some kind of phony, feel-good platitude. This is the real deal here. This guy really believes in what he's doing. He's out there. He's fully committed. That's all I can say. So let's talk about Springfield. What happened there? Well, first of all, here's the questions. I'm jumping ahead of myself. Let's talk about this guy. Who did the shooting? How did he know that Trump was going to be on that golf course that day? How did he know? Now, the guy's alive. This is helpful for us because we can, at least he is right now. He hasn't hung himself in the jail yet. In a prison where there's no cameras and nobody knows who's coming and going. We have from a bedpost that's 2 feet off the ground. We have somebody we can actually talk to now, which could be a mistake, or maybe not. So the FBI and the CIA are right now, they are tripping over themselves to try to get some kind of credibility back. Because right now, the Secret Service right now is under a lot of scrutiny. Now, there's a couple of theories on why that is and what's going to happen with that whole thing. One of the theories, I heard this on Jimmy Dore, one of the theories that they're putting out there is that there's an attempt to get rid of Secret Service and put in someone like Blackwater, like have some kind of private contractor doing this, the security for all of our high-level officials, which if it breaks down to the point where the Democrats want it to be, They will all have to be protected by Secret Service, and there's not enough Secret Service, so they will have to hire private security. And of course, that's going to be a big government contract, some kind of private contractor. So that there's a theory that that's what they're pushing for, and of course, that leads into all kinds of corruption beyond that point, because now you've got some very strange. How do you control the hiring and firing of that whole thing and management of the whole thing, oversight? It gets very tricky. Now, in some cases, I think I would trust private security more than the insiders, the establishment that's there. However, Secret Service right now, the SS, is definitely losing its credibility. They're doing everything. They don't want to do anything they can to get it back. Here is one theory. This whole thing was a Secret Service setup, possibly in conjunction with Homeland Security and everything else. Who knows how many other organizations were involved in this. So they have this guy come out with an AK-47. Oh, we caught him. He was some fringe guy out on the side of the, you know, we just happened to see this guy. We took four shots at him, probably with blanks. This is the theory. Take four shots. He gets away. There just happens to be somebody there to take his picture, and we track him down and we find him. He almost got away, but we got him. We caught him because of all our technology, everything that happened there. We were able to catch him, and he's now arrested. That's one theory. It'll be interesting to see who this guy has been in touch with, who he's been contacting, who's been talking to him. If this guy, same guy, who'd been communicating with the last shooter and the shooter from the high school. But by the way, that same person who was within 1,000 feet of the FBI office. It's a football field, basically. Or three football fields, I should say. Less than a quarter mile. From the FBI office headquarters. And guess what? Same guy was at the school shooting, associated with the school shooting, as was associated with the Trump assassination. We'll find out if this guy, the second assassination, if this guy was, you know, had any kind of contact with that same individual or any other individual that was close to the FBI. So we have all this stuff is going on. I'm sure the conspiracy theorists are going to come out of the woodwork on it. They always do. That's just one theory. This isn't my theory. This is just, well, actually, that was more or less my theory. I'm putting some of this stuff together. But it's a theory that this guy, this was phony. I'm putting together the scenario. I'm not a geopolitical expert, but not that it has anything to do with this, but I have a lot of opinions. It's just my opinions. The other opinion was this was an attempt, an actual attempt. Somebody fed this guy information. The question is, how did this guy know that Trump was going to be on that golf course at that time of day? What did they know and when did they know it? That's what really, really need to find out here. So he ends up doing this thing where he knows all this stuff. So who told him? How did he know? How did he find out? Was he just camping out there every day until Trump finally showed up? If that was the case, why didn't anybody know him before? So then he. The other thing is, you know, so that one. The one theory is the Secret Service is trying to set this up to make themselves look good. They stopped. They thwarted one this time, and everybody was, oh, the Secret Service did their job. They did an excellent job. Oh, the Secret Service did their job this time. Of course, then why did they miss the guy? He's quite a ways away. Understandable. Four shots. I don't know. Not even a scratch on the guy. Then I didn't even get hit by any glass or anything. Or debris. And I didn't get hit by in his ear. Anything. And the fact the guy didn't get any shots off. So then there's all this weird stuff that's going on with all that. The guy apparently has some social media presence. They've already taken down almost everything. His social media has already been closed down. And of course, they're gonna say, "What's the motive? What's the motive here?" Well, of course, now they're all saying that it's Trump's rhetoric that's causing this. Legacy media is already saying he's got to tone down his rhetoric. What? They're eating the dogs. Okay, so is that why this guy? Oh, I'm going to shoot the guy. He's telling people that they're eating the dogs and they're not doing it. So I'm going to shoot him. That doesn't happen. No, it's this guy's an existential threat to the American way and to democracy, and I have to shoot him because I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to save our country. Because he's a fascist. He's a Hitler. He's basically, I'm going to kill Hitler. I'm going to be a hero. That's what he's thinking, because that's what he's being told every day, day in and day out on liberal media. That's where these motivations come from. Don't kid yourself on that. All right. The other theory is this kid's just wacko. Happened to find out whatever he was. He's just obsessed with Trump and found out where he was going to be. And happened to be there at the right time, right place. And Secret Service just happened to do their job and took shots at him. And he happened to get away. Happened to have somebody take a picture of his license plate. Happened to be caught on the highway. Just the way it all worked. It's very possible. Nothing about it is not plausible. So that's, that's a big word, plausible. I learned that in grade school. I didn't know what it meant. I just learned the word. I didn't know what it meant. So I'm using it now. I still don't know what it means. I'm just using it because it sounds smart. I don't know. So we have this, all this stuff's going on. Interestingly enough, and part of it is, of course, the rhetoric that he's supposedly stirring up is this whole thing about Springfield. Now, Springfield is not the only town. Springfield, Ohio is not the only town that this is happening in. People are being spread about the country. Now, one of the things, let's talk about this, but the whole Haitian thing here. Let's talk about this for just a minute. This TPS status, when they talk about having 100,000 people coming into the country under TPS, these aren't people who are crossing the borders. They're not showing up at the border saying, okay, I need asylum. Okay, over the past 5 years, we've given all these people who've come to our border, we've given them a TPS status, a temporary protective status, because we, hundred thousand, they know exactly how many there are. These are people who have been flown here, who have been transported into the country by the U.S. government. We don't know how many Haitians have come across the border. I'm sure there are plenty of other Haitians that have come across the border, and probably not all the Haitians that are in Springfield, Ohio, came in through the TPS system. I can almost guarantee you that. Because what's been happening is this is a government program. The city itself gets paid to take in these people. City planners and everybody else, the city council, they are all fully aware of what's happening here, of these people coming into the into their town. They're being paid. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if there are some city planners and some people behind the scenes who run, like the city council chairman, possibly the mayor. Some high-ranking officials are probably having their palms greased as well. There's probably money sliding everywhere. When they start printing off all this money for all this stuff, the billions of dollars that are washing around out there, it doesn't take much to, hey, let's just throw a few million here, a few million there, put a few, all these non-government agencies that are out there, NGOs, organizations that are out there, they just want to slosh a little bit, a couple million over there, a couple million over here. They can do all this side work for us. They can keep our little agenda going, flushing us along the way, paying off people to do our bidding, otherwise known as useful idiots. That's where the money comes from for this stuff. That's how you pay off protesters, get all the AstroTurf that's happening. That's how you get all these buses coming into one of Kamala's little rallies where she fills up a stadium and you've got 300 buses that pull in. Oh, we're just using those as security. No, you don't do that. That's not, you don't bring buses in for security. You bring buses in to bus people in. Sometimes they have remote parking and they'll bring people in on buses, but those usually don't bring a whole bunch of buses in and just park them once. They don't bring them from remote parking and just park there. They go back and forth. They're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you might have 20 buses going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You don't have a couple hundred buses coming in and parking, unloading people and then just parking. That's not the way remote parking works, in case you're not aware. So, and they're usually like city buses, which can haul a lot more people standing up and everything else. They're not like, you know, cruisers. I digress. We have, so this isn't the only city that's this is happening to, by the way. That's what I'm trying to get at. And it's the whole scandal behind this thing. And the whole thing, that the story that really needs to be told here is, who's approving this? How are these people getting in and why are they here and how much are they getting paid? And all this stuff that's going on. Now, of course, they're playing down the court. It's not just the cats and the dogs. And of course, now there are people now that are coming out of the woodwork. There's a couple of pastors that have come up and said, yeah, there's some voodoo stuff going on. There's a lot of witchcraft. They use cat bones and cat, it's part of their rituals. It's part of their, what they call juju in the type of, witchcraft that they deal in, this kind of, what do they call it? All kinds of voodoo stuff that they do, the voodoo you do. And along with all this stuff that's going on, there are people's pets are disappearing. The stories are not unfounded. Let's just put it that way. They're pushing back on all this because they can't have that kind of thing going on. Of course, they're blaming that kind of rhetoric on the fact that Donald Trump's being attacked because of that or whatever. But this kind of thing is happening in many, many cities around the country. Small towns being just people just being dropped in. Now, there's a lot of theories about this. One of the theories, of course, is Ohio is kind of a swing state. It's more, it's a right-leaning swing state. You have the swing states that are left-leaning, right-leaning. Florida is no longer really that's not going to be a swing state anymore. Florida's, I would say, pretty much solid red now because of the influx of people who've moved there who are on board with the whole conservative movement thing. There's the conservatives. The left is pulling their hair out right now because I think Pennsylvania, Trump is up now in Michigan in the polls. Pennsylvania, they've had, I think, 280,000 people registered as Republicans and only about 70,000 have registered to be Democrats. That's new registrations in the last 2 years. That's a huge difference. Now, the question is, sometimes you have to look at, okay, sometimes people will register on the other side. The first shooter, I think, was registered as a Republican. The reason they do that kind of thing is so that they can vote in their primaries, so they can affect who the left ends up running against. There's all this stuff that can go on. So there's that question. But when there's that much of a difference, you won't find that many people who are willing to do that. So that's pretty overwhelming. You know, three times the number, or four times. So we have some interesting things happening. I think the left knows what's happening here. They know what's going on. They know that they've got to really, and of course, the deep state. It's like there are people out there saying there is no way they're going to let this guy be president. They're going to make sure he doesn't make it to January 20th. Now, if he does make it to January 20th, it's like you can't just spike the football and say, "Yep, we've done it. Now we're here. We are." Because again, gets back to the whole thing of their heads are going to pop off. They're going to bring back all of the negative rhetoric. I mean, it's not going to change. It's not going to stop. The riots will continue. All of the rhetoric, all of the stuff that happened before, the George Floyds of the world, anything that happens in the world, they want chaos, and they want it to be because they can blame it all on Donald Trump. Whether it is more pandemics, more personally, here's what I think is going to happen. Somehow, either before the election, before, during, after this whole election process is over, at some point we are going to have, and I think there's a very good possibility, something very, what I call a black swan event, what many people call a black swan event, is going to happen before the election. The probability of that is very high. In my opinion, it's about 70% of that is possible. The most probable would either be a complete shutdown of our electrical grid, blamed on a terrorist attack of some kind, which would also knock out the internet, of course, or just an internet, in this whole thing that happened, what was it, a couple months ago, a month and a half ago, where a Microsoft update shut down about a third of the nation's business computers. Airline travel was affected. Everything was affected. Medical, everything was affected. Because of a stupid thing. Something like that could potentially happen. That might have been a trial run. If the electrical grid goes down, that's a whole other issue. You discover all kinds of things. First of all, you discover, even if the grid just goes down, what I would expect is before November, even before October, I would say that probably sometime here in this month and maybe the first part of October, we may experience a partial grid shutdown as an experiment. And that's what they'll find out is how many people can have generators out there, how many people are actually, have them hooked up, how many people are going to run the grid, what's going to happen with our power grid here. That is one of the issues that they have with solar. That's the reason they want to tie solar into the power grid and not have people off grid, is because then they can't, they can't control you. And of course, as long as the satellites are up there, as long as the satellites are working, if you have power and you have satellite, you still have internet. You still have capability of using it if anybody else is on the grid, if anybody else is still out there. The more independence we have, if 10 million homes are independent off the grid, that's enough to sustain some kind of sense of communication within the country. Of course, now if you have 100 million, if you have a totally, that's, which isn't going to happen. But. So this is the kind of thing that I think that they're always pushing against the social engineers who are behind the scenes. These aren't the people who are the politicians necessarily. These are people who own the politicians. These are the oligarchs behind the scenes that own the politicians. But they're the puppets we have to deal with on a face-to-face basis. So we have all this wacky, crazy stuff going on. Now, having said all that, but I wonder why my Apple Watch, I charge it up at night, and it's having some issues charging, first of all, but it also seems to deplete very quickly. I have only had it on for 2 hours, and it's already at 75%. Now, last night it was at like 20%. Usually I could go for 2 or 3 days and not have to charge it up. And now I have to charge it every night. And it is, I do have data on my watch. So I don't know if there's something that has happened with an update that's going on. I don't know what's going on. Or maybe the battery's just wearing out. I don't know. He's just not doing well. So you have to see what happens with that. Anyway, having said all of that, I'm going to try to, speaking of my phone, where did I put my phone? It's got to be in my pocket or somewhere. There it is. We're going to try to call someone this morning. We'll have to see how this goes. I have a dear friend of mine. Let's see if we can find him here. It says Bluetooth on. Let's connect onto that. Connect this thing. Connect that thing. We're going to call him. We're going to ask him what's in his cup. That's the thing we got to find out. What's in your cup? All right, got the dog digging again. There we go. Okay, so we got the phone going here. And usually this guy, to really understand this, you know, to get the full nuance of this guy, you have to actually hear him answer the phone because it's usually pretty fun. So here we go. We're going to give this guy a call. Here we go. See what we have going on here. Hey, you know, you're live on the news according to me. This is the news according to Giancarlo. Somewhere. You're being recorded and you didn't even, are you still in bed?
And I just woke up.
You just woke up? Oh, good. They caught you at the right time then. So everybody wants to know what's in your cup. What do you got in your cup there? You got coffee? You don't even have a cup.
I got some California chai.
Now you're just making fun of me.
I want to try one of those, what is it called? Vanilla chai?
Yeah, chai latte, yeah.
Chai latte.
Chai latte, yeah. You have to send some to you sometimes. So I'll have to find a way to get you. Yeah. So what do you think about this whole thing about Trump being shot at, or that guy attempted? I guess he didn't actually shoot any bullets, but he got. What do you think of that? Oh. That wasn't you, was it?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay. Right.
Well, I guess at this point, since Clown News Network keep spreading lies for many years, pushing all these. Propaganda. This only allows for a lot of crazy people that is willing to try kill the president. And it's actually, in my opinion, actually, it's what they want. They actually want to accomplish it, and they push for for a lot of ideas that are not really true about Trump. And there are some people that, have some a little crazy, and they're willing to try. I'm very surprised that at this moment, like the last couple of weeks, or like a month ago, that guy failed for an inch.
Yeah, that was close. That was too close, yeah.
And something that surprised me the most, not surprised me, but it just, I don't even know what to say. It's like, you see how they talk about January 6th for every day?
Yeah.
Non-stop. Can you imagine if this thing would be happening to them? Like if somebody tried to assassinate Biden or Kamala?
Yeah.
This would be on every news channel, every mainstream media channel.
Yeah.
Owned by the deep state, of course.
And they would
24/7, all day long.
They would all be, well, they're even blaming Trump. Because for this happening, they're saying it's because of his rhetoric.
Of course.
So it's all his fault. And of course, if somebody tried to assassinate Joe Biden, it'd be all his fault too. Everything was all his fault. Everything's always his fault.
Yeah, everything is his fault. Yeah, this is crazy. It's just, I think this is one of the most difficult times. I don't even know what to predict for the election because at this rate, I think they're going to try again. Another assassination attempt any random moment because there's just crazy people around and they keep pushing for this.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to let him be president. They don't want him to be president, and I think the end justifies the means. They'll do anything they can to try to get this guy, keep this guy from being in office.
Sure. For example, in my opinion, the last assassination attempt for me, there is a lot of, conspiracies. That's what they like to say, right?
Yeah.
That term invented by the government, conspiracy theory. That's what they That's what they use every time they they are caught.
Because they want to make it sound like you're a wacko if you believe it.
Yeah. For example, the fact that they pretty much weakened the Secret Service, so this kind of thing can happen.
Yeah.
That's very questionable. And nobody talks about it. You don't see this anymore in the news. In TV.
It's like it never happened. Yeah.
Yeah, it never happened. It's just whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty hard. Still, we still have a couple months. And I think he should have his own private security besides Secret Service. Yeah. I don't know exactly if he has one, but he should have security.
Yeah. I think he has his own security, but I'm not sure that they're not always there. You know, the Secret Service, I guess they stepped it up a little bit, but it's not still, in my opinion, it's still not adequate. They just need to give him full Secret Service. That's the whole thing. But
yeah, I think it's necessary because they're gonna keep trying.
Yeah.
They're gonna keep trying this crazy initial attempt again.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they will. It's not the last one. Yeah, I'm sure of that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, I'll let you go back to bed. I know you've got you need your beauty rest. You need to get that in there because you got a big day there. Where are you actually right now?
College Station.
Oh, College Station. Oh, really? In Ohio?
Yeah. No, this is Texas.
Oh, in Texas. That's right. You told me that yesterday. Okay, yeah. I was thinking of college. What is it? There's College State. State College, Ohio. Whatever it is. Yeah, Pennsylvania. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different place.
Texas.
All right.
No, it's Macarona. And thank you for spreading some facts over there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll check in with you again sometime because, it's always good to get somebody's opinion from down south. So.
All right, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Have a good day, man. Careful out there.
Good day, brother.
Bye. All right, bye. Take care. Macarono. Hey, that's, So that's, I shared his name, but I'm not going to share it again. I'm not sure if he wants me to tell everybody his name, but so it's kind of interesting that he has heard basically the same kinds of things and he has the same kind of opinion. It's like, this is probably not something that, I think it goes deeper. There's more that's going on. And if nothing else, after we saw the last one, there was this whole cover up thing about, the roof was too steep. We didn't have anybody on that roof. We weren't sure who was on the roof because we thought it might be another. There's all this different stuff that's going on. Now, accordingly, supposedly, Blumenthal, who is not a Trump supporter, by the way, he is a left-wing, leftist Democrat. Interestingly, which brings up a question, but anyway, Blumenthal came out, and I would play the audio, but it's not very good audio, and I can't stand listening to it because it's very harsh. Because I don't know who recorded it, but he basically in the hallway was saying to somebody, to a reporter, I think the country is going to be shocked and amazed and appalled at some things that are coming out about the investigation into the Trump assassination attempt. Now, I don't know what that means. That's very ambiguous. People are drawing conclusions that there's something must be something nefarious going on. That it goes deeper than what we realize. This could be another Adam Schiff moment where he's going to say Donald Trump planned it. That's always a possibility. That was my first thought was that's how little I trust these people. That they would come out and try to accuse him of actually planning this. Yeah, why don't you just nick me in the ear with that, because you're such a good shot. I trust you to just shoot me in the ear. Right as I'm turning my head towards that thing, you just shoot my ear, just the bottom of my ear. Just nick it. It's just enough to bleed a little bit. Or even if you don't, I'm gonna get one of these little blood packets. I'm going to put it on my head. Yeah, that's right. And we accidentally killed a couple people. But I don't care because, Joy Reid doesn't think he cares about the people who were killed and injured during that assassination attempt. Oh, I wouldn't put it past him. Don't think it. He wouldn't care that somebody else died just for him to have a moment. And that's how deranged these people are. These people are sick in the head. They have a mental illness and they need counseling. They don't understand how deep into their psyche they have driven this idea that Donald Trump is a monster. And they can't stand the fact that they've got former Democrats now stepping off the crazy train and actually teaming up with Trump to form a coalition government, basically, is what we have. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, several other Democrats. Now, my understanding, let me just say this, and this is from a spiritual point of view. I may not be an expert in much of anything, but I do have a relationship with God. And at times I believe that I have an ability to be aware of what's going on spiritually in the nation. I think that there is a great contradiction and confliction in many people's hearts right now who are on the left. Most of them are coming to themselves, coming to a sense, a moment of self-awareness, that where they're realizing that, hey, I don't like everything that this guy does. I don't like everything he says. I don't like the way this guy, I just don't like everything about his personality. I don't either. I'm there. I'm with you on that. Not everything he does is the way I would do it. Not everything I see all these armchair people, including Patrick McDavid and a lot of these other guys, are saying what he needs to do right now in his campaign. Whatever they're all sitting back there saying what he needs to do right now in his campaign. What he should have done during the debate. Whatever. No, what he needs to do is be himself. Just be genuine. Don't be phony. Don't prepare things. Don't be too over. You know, I appreciate the fact that the guy was lackluster in the debate, and he was himself. He just came out there doing what he does, just talking to him. And unfortunately, he had three people in his face confronting him, laughing at him, accusing him. They weren't moderating anything. It wasn't a debate between him and Kamala. It was a debate between him and the left, the machine. And he just showed who he was. And yeah, he got ticked off during the whole thing. I would have been too. I was ticked off for him. And the more I listened to the stuff that happened and realized what was going on there, the more ticked off I am. I think I'm probably more ticked off than he is about what happened. And apparently it was enough to tick off, was it NBC, the president of NBC, or whoever's in, not the, he's a VP of NBC. I think he's in charge of certain kinds of, the certain news division of NBC. He was appalled at what happened there. This is the kind of thing where I think that they're getting uncomfortable with this end justifies the means mentality. Trump is only Trump is bad and Trump is the monster and Trump is our problem. No, the problem isn't. The problem is you guys are off the hinge here. I think that more and more, and maybe Blumenthal is one of those. Maybe he's actually figuring it out. He's really realizing and recognizing that, hey, this bus is going off the cliff. Maybe he recognizes that. I don't know. I would be shocked and surprised. But it's possible. Because I don't think the Democrat Party survives this. If they continue down this road, they're turning people off in droves. The only motivated people to go and vote for this candidate on their side are the radical left. And even half of them are upset because of Gaza. So I just don't see the motivation to vote, to get out the vote, that you're going to see on the right. Now, I think this second attempt to kill him seals the deal for him, I think, in terms of voter motivation, especially this close to the election. And I just think it's going to be an overwhelming thing. And of course, the fact that the media is coming out, right away they came out to say that it wasn't an attempt assassination, it was just a couple people shooting each other. Then right away, they turned right around and said, it's Trump's fault. It's his own fault that people are trying to kill him. Can't blame the people who are trying to kill him. It's his fault. Well, no, it's no wonder the people are motivated to try to kill him, because he's trying to destroy the nation. He's Hitler. He's a monster. I don't blame him for trying to go out. In other words, they're literally saying, I don't blame these attempted killers, these attempted assassins, for trying to assassinate him. Can't blame them for that, because No, he is who he is. This is insanity. This is a mental illness. There's a problem with you. And you're not doing anything to bring about unity in our nation or, you know, talk about division. You're talking about Trump being divisive. You're the one who's doing the divisions. You're the ones pushing the calculator buttons here. So don't give me that. Bunch of disingenuous, wacky people. So folks, tomorrow, there will be a show tomorrow. Probably, most likely from the worldwide headquarters. Don't know that we'll get in touch with our little friend down south here, but we'll see what we can do. We might make some phone calls to some other people. That might be kind of fun to start doing that on the show. I don't know. Just randomly dialing numbers. Might be kind of cool. Not for them, but for us. I think more entertaining, at least. Get people out of bed, call somebody on the West Coast. Might be kind of fun. Thought about possibly interviewing some of these YouTubers. We'll talk about that later, but it's a possibility that happening later on, maybe after the election. God bless, folks. Have a great night. Continue to pray for our nation.